of the one result?
Mr. Speaker, may I have your permission to answer PQ number 7 and 8 together?
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Based on findings from the Household Expenditure Survey 2023 conducted by the Department of Statistics, DOS, the overall growth in tuition expenditure across households was similar to the growth in overall household income from all sources. It was also similar to the increase in the Consumer Price Index for enrichment and supplementary courses. MOE recognizes that the reasons for taking up tuition are varied. While there are some students who genuinely need more dedicated help in coping with their studies, there are others who take tuition even though they are coping well. Excessive reliance on tuition can diminish students' joy of learning and take time away from their holistic development. It can even be detrimental when students struggle to cope with the additional demands of tuition. MOE has introduced policy changes to shift away from an overemphasis on academic results and broaden the definition of success. But these moves will not be as effective if mindsets do not shift. We must shift our focus from putting our children through excessive competition against others based solely on academic results to giving more time and space for holistic development of our children and also helping them to maximize their individual talents and strengths so that they can be the best versions of themselves. As Dr. Wan Rizal and Mr. Yip Hon Wing highlighted, the data from DOS also shows a disparity in tuition expenditure between households of different income quintiles. This is consistent with global trends where parents who are better endowed will use their resources and networks to support their children's development. They sign up their children for more or more expensive enrichment and tuition, hoping that this will help their children in their studies. MOE is not in a position to intervene in such personal decisions. But regardless of a student's socio-economic background, MOE will continue to make sure that our education system provides sufficient opportunities for all students to reach their fullest potential, regardless of their background. And this is even more important for students from lower-income households. To this end, MOE has devoted significant resources to support students with higher needs. For instance, our schools provide specialized academic intervention for primary and secondary school students who need more support to build their literacy and numeracy foundation through the Learning Support Program and the Learning Support for Mathematics. Schools also have partnerships with volunteers and self-help groups that provide affordable academic support. One example is the Collaborative Tuition Program, which provides students, particularly those from lower-income households, with subsidized tuition. The OECD Programme for International Student Assessment, PISA 2022, has affirmed our efforts. Our students from lower-income families outperformed the OECD average in the core domains of reading, mathematics and science, as well as creative thinking. Mr. Speaker, MOE cannot advance social mobility on our own. A whole-of-society effort is needed to share our resources and networks with those who are less well-endowed, broaden our definitions of success, and reduce academic stress and recognize the contributions of those with different skills and talents.
Dr. Wan Rizal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank MOS for the reply. I'm glad to hear that we are doing things to change the mindset of this perceived idea of the necessity of tuition. Beyond financial concerns, is MOE studying the impact of this tuition culture on students' well-being and stress levels? Such information could be helpful for us to actually push further a change in this mindset. My next question is really on, I've heard about the financial support for the low-income families, but I do also note that there are families who are in the middle income who feel that they need support for their children. Are there measures by MOE to address this issue, these concerns by such families? Thank you.
MOE is gone.
Well, MOE is certainly concerned as well about stress that can be brought onto students because of excessive reliance on tuition, especially if the tuition does not help the students in improving their learning and understanding of their subjects that they are studying, but instead take away precious time for them to grow and develop themselves holistically. So certainly we will be keen to undertake studies and also research with partners in this field. On the subject of support for students from not so low-income families, we do have broad-based support. In fact, we have improved the amount of bursary that is provided to our students, even for those from middle-income households. And our education system in general, broadly, provides support for students, even for those from the middle-income households. I'd like to say that actually the more important thing for us is to understand why there is demand for tuition from students and their parents. I think tackling that is the crux of the matter. And for that, we seek the support of parents and the community in helping shape the mindsets about overemphasis on academic results and also broadening the definition of success for our students.
Mr. Yip Pong Wing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the MOS for a reply. I have two SQs. Has the Ministry conducted or considered conducting longitudinal studies to track the long-term outcomes of students of various backgrounds, income backgrounds, particularly in relation to the access to private tuition and subsequently social mobility? Secondly, are there efforts to build confidence in our public education system's ability to meet diverse learning needs without external supplications, such as private tuition? Thank you.
MOS Khan.
Well, in line with the government's key priority of sustaining social mobility and mitigating inequality, MOE monitors the education progress of students from all income brackets across the key life stages. Similar to other countries, we have observed a correlation between socioeconomic status and educational outcomes. Nonetheless, in some areas, the gaps have narrowed over time. For instance, among students from lower SES backgrounds, 9 in 10 progress to post-secondary education today, compared to 5 in 10 around 2 decades earlier. On Honourable Members' second question on improving confidence in our education system, I think parents generally believe that our schools are providing quality education for our system, to our students. But what I think is happening also at the same time is the notion of competition, getting into good schools, good courses, and it perhaps undervaluing the unique talents and interests of individual students. And I think that is something that we want to continue to work on, and we seek the support of parents and the community in this.
Mr. Leong Ying Hua.
Sir, last month on the first day of school for P1s, and I believe it's on the 2nd of Jan, I was outside a primary school and my constituency and got to meet some parents there. As I was chatting with some parents, I saw a couple distributing flyers around us. And I was curious to find out what they're distributing, and then soon found out that they are distributing tuition flyers. So I was very troubled with that, and I offered my views to the couple who is distributing the tuition flyers and said they should not be doing this on the first day of school for P1s. We do not want to create such unnecessary competition on day one, and as well as, and also stresses to our parents and the students on the day one for P1s. And I also told them that perhaps later, if the students do have some weaker subjects and areas they need to improve upon, well, perhaps they may need some tuition, but I still believe the school is capable of doing helping up the weaker students. So my questions, so the couple left after I say all those things. So can I ask the MOE, the ministers of states, that whether is there any standing instructions, or would MOE come up with some standing instructions to advise tuition centres not to do such tuition sales outside school, especially on the day one for P1 students?
Well done, Mr. Liang. MOS gun.
I thank Mr. Liang Hing Hua for his SQ. We have observed some tuition centres employing undesirable advertising practices that appeal to parents' anxieties and fear of missing out. And we do not support such practices. We think that it unduly induces parents to sign up their children for tuition, and that is not healthy. Our schools certainly do not support such practices. We are studying how we could discourage tuition centres from doing this. We are reviewing our process. Thank you.
Last SQ, Ms. Kerry Tan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to address MOS Gan and thank her for her clarification, but I've also encountered just in January a couple of instances where parents have shared that they've observed that their primary one child in the third week of school has been identified to be weaker in a particular subject and hence been designated as, you know, a smaller group with additional support for the particular subject. And while I understand that MOE is trying to give more support to students at an earlier age, I would like to ask Ms. Gan whether she feels that it is, what kind of signal is MOE sending to parents and children where we are rushing to identify their weakness or strengths at, you know, such a early stage in their primary school journey? With the context, I mean, the premise is that we are trying to get the students to perform better or to catch up. And underlying that premise is a sense of competition. And does MOE have plans to review its pace of curriculum to see whether it is necessary that we need to cram so much information and knowledge into, you know, a young person's life or young child's life at such an early stage, and to review the whole entire premise of why is it that we are pushing our students to perform and to meet certain expectations of what kind of level of mathematic or literary skills they must have, and who are we, or how are we benchmarking this? What is the ultimate purpose for this intensified learning pace in Singapore? Thank you.
MOS Gan.
Thank you. I thank Ms. Kerry Tan for the SQ. I think it's important that we recognize that learning is for life, and that it doesn't help if we rush through the learning only in the first few years of a child's life. It has to be a continuous journey. And secondly, we also recognize that it's important for our children to start well, even preschool, to have some foundational abilities in reading, in communication, and life skills, importantly. So that's why in our schools, if we identify that certain children seem to be weaker and are falling behind in basic literacy or numeracy skills, the teachers, out of care and concern, will want to bring this to the awareness of the parents and work together with the parents to support the learning of our students. And we understand that sometimes some households may not have the resources or the abilities, and that's why we have specialised academic intervention programmes for primary school students who need more support in foundational skills. And these programs are like the reading remediation program and learning support for mathematics, and we've seen good outcomes, more importantly in building confidence of our students, especially those from lower income households, when they go through these programs. These programs typically have fewer students and special additional resources, and it is done in consent and also in partnership with the parents. It is not in any way intended to ask the parents to send their children for more tuition. If anything, you know, it's to raise awareness of the parents so that more can be done early to support the learning and to set our children up well for the longer term. Thank you.